Hi, I'm Matt Waller, Dean of the Sam M. Walton College of Business. Welcome to Be Epic, the podcast where we explore excellence, professionalism, innovation, and collegiality, and what those values mean in business, education, and your life today. Today I have with me Philip Kane, Director of Corporate Communications for Walmart. He's in our Executive MBA program, and he's just finished the first semester. He has a tremendous background and very diverse background, actually. You know, he has led a super center with $65 million in sales, 250 associates, and he also has 12 years of media and public relations experience, which really gives him a diverse background. But on top of that, he also is very involved in other things outside of work in the university. He is a child advocate for CASA of Northwest Arkansas. He's a board member of St. Paul's Episcopal Church. He has lots of things going on. He's clearly very good at managing his time. Thank you for being with me today.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
I would guess your experience managing a supercenter was a very people-intensive job. I mean, and you were managing the supercenter in Chesterfield, Missouri, I think. A supercenter has a lot of employees. Many of them are part-time. How many employees do they have usually?
So my box was mid-60 million volume, 250 associates, which included a management team of roughly 30, if you count the hourly department managers and salary assistants, about 30 folks. So 250 overall in the box. And we were a 6 or a 7 a.m. to 11 opening. But then I ran a third shift too. So we were 24 hours for shifts. It was a dynamic position to have in terms of making sure that, you know, the trains were running on time, but also the layers to that job, you've got to make sure the people on your team that you work with, and I'll pause there for a second. I had 250, I was the 250th, there was 249 other people in that box that kept things running, right? They didn't work for me. I worked with 249 people trying to keep our customers happy in that box day to day. And my mentality for them was high expectations, high support is the way I used to say it. Guys, I'm going to drive you to give me and therefore our customers and this team your very, very best. But that means I need to get you whatever you need to get that done. So I need you to jump 10 feet in the air. But if you need me to help you get new shoes to do it, then that's my job, right? I had a philosophy too where if I had someone who wasn't making it, things weren't going as well as they needed to, if someone was behind or, maybe failing in the role or having trouble, I always told everyone that that's my fault first. That's on me. I run the building. So if you're not doing well in your job, that's my fault. And somebody might think, well, that's strange because they're doing it. It's like, no, I run it, which means I must have some sort of gap, I need to assume, in what I'm providing them to make sure that they're successful. So I would always find that person and say, where are the gaps? Do you need to go train at another store that does that well for 2 weeks? Do we need to get you into some training, CBLs? What is it? We go through that, give everybody what they need to get done. Now, if we're still in the same spot after that, then it's no longer something that's on me. That might be where they're not in the right role. And then we got to work it out from there. I think leading a building that way, managing the personalities, in that particular box, we had a really complex interaction of people because it was an affluent area. So you had affluent customers that would come and shop us. We were in a rather large shopping center. My hourly management team were Missouri folks, not Missouri. Don't say Missouri around them. They were rural Missouri and had worked at Walmart for a long time, 10, 15 years, 20 years. They had on lockdown. And a lot of my sales floor associates were folks who would bus in from inner city St. Louis, literally African-American and Hispanic majority associates for the sales floor that would come in because it was a great job. It was in a safe part of the, you know, St. Louis County, the greater region. A lot of their friends worked there. I had people who would take a bus, you know, 2 hours one way to come and work at my store for their 8 or 10 hour shift and then take the bus ride back because it was that good of a job. But managing the complexities between the girl who's got two kids and lives in the inner city, you know, off of King's Highway in St. Louis, that's 3.5 feet away from the wife of a doctor, you know, that is on their way home to Clayton and makes, you know, $600,000-$700,000 a year. They're 3 feet away from each other, and that engagement and that discussion has to go well, right? And me and my team have to train that associate to be able to connect with that customer, because that's who our customers were in that store, and deal with all the things that have to be dealt with to make sure that that interaction happened well, you know, tens of thousands of times a week. And that's the way I thought about my role there and what my responsibility was through my folks, among a bunch of other things. It was single-handedly the toughest job I've ever had and the biggest challenge, for sure. But I'm extremely glad that I did it. And I learned so much about, you know, people and professional work and leadership and all of that. I will tell you that I gained just as much and learned just as much as a person, as a father, a husband, son, doing that role as anything professionally too, which I did not expect at all. But I became stretched and grew and changed through that experience, home and away. So it was interesting. And you know, in some regards, you know, I tie this back to the company that I work for that gave me the opportunity to do that, right? The same company that saw potential in this program and in the School of Business. And, you know, I came in, you know, external recruit off the street 10 years ago, 11 now, I think. And you're able to go through these different phases of a career. You know, I started with taking calls from stores and, you know, media, just calling up with the 800 number saying, hey, something happened, we need help on this. And, you know, that sort of thing, working through, you know, different PR jobs and then transitioning to a completely different lane, you know, same house, different room, in terms of operations. And now taking that total experience and coming back the last couple of years now and doing this role, that's kind of a mix of everything, public affairs, operations as a client, communications, a little bit of marketing, a little bit of community relations, a little, you know, so it's been an interesting ride here. But
part of the reason I asked that question is, I mean, just my observation, running a super center has got to be tough. It's a huge building, mm-hmm. a lot of employees, enormous amount of customers coming through the door, high expectations, and it has to run efficiently because Walmart's known for being, you know, everyday low price, everyday low cost. But it's also interesting to me that, wow, if you can manage a super center, you could probably manage time mm-hmm. because you've got so much time you've got to manage in that situation. But it's also interesting to me that you've gone from that to being director of corporate communications with the Fortune 1 company, the biggest company on earth. What an experience for you. And I know in the executive MBA program, there's people from many different companies. You said, I think there's only 6 people in the program that are actually from Walmart. The rest are from all different companies. And they fly in from all over the place. And you all are learning from one another. But I think it's unusual to find people that have, you know, it's hard to work somewhere where you could get that kind of experience just because of the scale, I would think. So when you come into a situation where you're having to all of a sudden study on the weekends and in the evenings with your kids, although you're only going in one Saturday a month, the burden is heavier than that. And so it's certainly a lot to manage.
let me change gears a little bit here.
Sure.
Okay, now you're getting ready to start your second semester in our two-year program. First semester, you had marketing and what was the other course?
Business analytics.
Business analytics. Those are very different. I know at least the way we teach them, they are. And then you've got this semester economics and finance. And I know the faculty who teach those all four of those courses, they're really good. Some of the best that we have. But I can imagine, like, going back to the first one, the marketing course, Jeff Murray, Professor Murray, who teaches it, uses a very anthropological approach because he's got his research methods are anthropological. And you being in corporate communications, as you said earlier, communications and marketing are related very, very much. But I would think, especially the way Jeff Murray teaches marketing, there's probably even more overlap. And I know one of the benefits that you've told me is that it stretched you in terms of how you thought about marketing. It did me as well. Were you able to see things as you were taking the course that you could apply as director of corporate communications?
Yes, there were several ways. The thing that comes to mind right away would be how I challenged and thought about strategy in the work that I was doing day to day already. That class forced me to think differently and see different layers to business approaches, you know, marketing, accessing customer acquisition, all the different, you know, things that we talk through. So having that sort of critical thinking button pushed, you know, weekly and then especially on the Saturday face-to-faces, I found myself in a bit of a different mindset looking at the work in front of me to think, well, who is that audience and can there be more audiences? And okay, I think that it's the answer to who's the audience is A, well, is there segmentation in that? How do I figure that out? Is there more that we could be doing with what we, you know, what our strategy and our approach is? This is a smart question that I don't know that, you know, even we ask enough is, what can I stop? What's not either working or not working, but maybe not worth it? Right, just worth the squeeze. So there's those questions where I found myself being much more critical in a productive way, not a negative way, critical in a productive way around the approach to the work and the strategy, because I had to think about execution on the work product that way. The other piece was the books that we read for that class had a lot to do with leadership theory and, you know, that's what I call it, you know, leadership theory and sociology and all these different these things and the brand stories in terms of Howard Schultz had this question, it all started, there's these folks out in Seattle that are selling more of my coffee making, you know, apparatus than anyone else. Why and how? Let me go out and ask them. And that's it. That was the start. And because he had that question and went out and asked, then everything, you know, sort of went from there, right? Super complex story, super interesting. But sitting in class and hearing the genesis of the man who built the most successful coffee enterprise in the history of mankind was sitting in an office one day and goes, how are those people doing it? They are doing it, but how? Well, I guess I'll go and ask. And going and asking. So the curiosity piece, being able to do the analytics on it and say, all right, they're here and everyone else is there. So it has put me in a sort of different mindset in terms of thinking. And I can tell you already that it's paid off in terms of returns for us. I think in terms of stretching other folks on the team and peers to think differently about that. The conversations that we have in meetings, the things that I bring up now, there's that extra 10 or 15% that's born out of how I'm being challenged in this course to think about, you know, application of these theories in the real world. And it's interesting to be in the real world, working day to day, and then have this as something that you go back to weekly for sure in your own home, and then, you know, meet once a month with colleagues, you know, with other students and peers, and being able to kind of dabble back and forth between those. For someone with a curious mind, that's been an interesting thing to be able to do. Different way to say it is, I by no means am waiting until I get done with the 2 years to then walk into work and go, okay, I have an MBA now. How am I going to do my job? It has changed already, and it's changed semi-weekly and will continue to. And in some ways, you know, I'm already seeing the benefits of being in the program by using what I'm learning right away, you know, day to day in the job that I have now. And then, of course, you know, they give you a piece of paper at the end, and that helps. But there's no lag period, I guess, to use a business analytics. You know, there's no lag in the application of some of the things that we're learning now. And that's been great.
One other thing I'd like to explore a little further. You've told me about how you not only are learning from faculty, but from one another, because so many of the students have different backgrounds. They're all working professionals, but they're in many, many different fields, as you mentioned. How is it that you learn from one another? I mean, is it during class, the interaction? Is it, I know we've got, you know, we have a lot of rooms for case discussions and analyses where students go into the rooms and work together in teams. And then you all are communicating with one another via the internet or whatever. Is it the combination of all those things, or how would you say that is working?
I think it is the combination. I think the program is intentional around trying to put you in situations where you're in with a smaller group of folks. You know, the opening weekend, on some of the Saturdays. Hey guys, we've got these 5 or 6 problems, so let's all, you know, count off 1 through 5. Okay, you know, group 3, go over here. And, you know, this sort of forced, in a good way, sort of engagement between new people, because people naturally gravitate to others, and, you know, there's 60 of us, and there's a kind of a group that goes out and does this, and people who sort of talk to each other. And, you know, being able to sort of cross some of the comfort lines and some of those zones in terms of engaging with different people, different backgrounds, different ages, all of that, I found that it's something that's intentional and built into the program, which I think is a good thing. Separate from that, people, you know, it's 60 of us, we're together 8-10 hours, you know, we got to talk to each other. So you are building friendships and building alliances with folks, and, you know, folks pop up and go, hey, you know, I need help with, you know, such and such. What did he say this? Well, you know, so there's a lot of that. And, you know, you balance the ethics piece of it on the group work and all that, and everyone stays where they need to be on that. But then there's also this sort of, hey, man, what did he say? I didn't write that down. And that sort of thing, where folks are helping each other. There's a couple folks in the class now. I mean, there's a lady who's, you know, younger, she's just out of undergrad and is, you know, early 20s, newly married, sees the world in a certain way, and all the way to a guy who's 25 years, I think, in his company, is looking for something new, and it's late 40s, I would assume. And those same two folks sit in that classroom and engage the material and see it different ways and discuss it different ways. And it's interesting to just sit and hear them react to it when Professor Murray stands there and goes, what do we think about, you know, ethnology on, you know, et cetera? The answer that comes back from several of the folks in the class is much different and has a lot of different, you know, reasons why and different filters. So engaging with folks and talking with them and learning, I think, is one of the benefits of the program that maybe isn't necessarily written down anywhere, but I think is valued in that they build a course for you to be able to have those moments and be in groups and engage with folks and sort of make each other better. It's the iron sharpens iron, you know, sort of theory for sure. But one thing that's interesting to me is I happen to be African-American. I was born this way. So being interested in an MBA program, I look around the class, and I think y'all have been intentional around trying to recruit, you know, women, minority. But I would put diverse backgrounds on that list. And you may look at me as a student and say, oh, okay, you know, African-American student, you know, a handful of folks were out trying to be intentional to draw them in. I almost view myself as the oddball a little bit in the class based on the background. Now, having run a store, been in operations, working for a company makes sense. But the majority of my career, I was a television reporter. I worked in government. I'm in corporate affairs, essentially, in a variety of ways, with a few years of ops. So to sit in the class across from folks who do statistical analytics for J.B. Hunt and someone who's, I think, literally a surgeon in a medical school, and folks who are involved in building buildings in, you know, Texas, it's been interesting to me to be chosen and accepted to be in this program from my background perspective. And I'll say this out loud to folks who hear, who, you know, listen to this. One of the ways I think, and I'll, you know, in some ways challenge folks, the talent development's a big thing for me and always has been, especially at Walmart. One of the ways I thought that I could even apply to come here was sort of challenging the thought process around what you've done in the past and what you can do. And I have a philosophy that it's more about your skill set and your toolbox than necessarily what type of degree you got or what job you already had. People ask me, why did you want to go into operations? And I think one of the questions that's parallel to that is, well, how did you go into operations from what you were doing before? And the answer is the same answer that made me feel like I could apply to come to this program, which is it's a toolkit. So by doing the things that I've done over the course of the years, been lucky to have great leaders who've pulled me along and gave me opportunities, I sit here and go, okay, I can write, I can talk, I can lead, I can, you know, et cetera, et cetera. A business school wants someone like that. Operators who need leadership in a building would want someone who can talk and write and lead. And so folks who may be on the fence around, do I go to any business school? Do I go to U of A? Do I do an MBA, EMBA program? Will I have the time to do it? The answer, as far as I'm concerned, is yes, you have the time to do it. You'll make the time because you'll love it. And two, I'm as diverse a background as you can get, I think, to come into a business program. And I'm here and I'm doing fine. And the work is, the schoolwork is meaningful to me, and the classroom engagement is great, and the professors are top notch. And I feel good about what I'm doing and where I'm going to go because I'm here. So I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it to other folks. People are asking me too at work, well, how is it? I was thinking about going, and I'm telling them, hey, it's worth it. Try it. Apply. Come sit in with me. I'm sure they'll let you. And give it a shot. Give yourself a shot in terms of letting them decide whether you're a good fit to be in the MBA program or not. Because if you were me, you might have sat there and gone, I don't know what they'll see. Apply. Let them figure it out. And at least in my case, it's been, I think, mutually beneficial. I think I've brought some interesting, you know, people have told me, some separate sort of thinking and a different angle to some of the things just based on my background, marketing class, business analytics aside. And of course, I'm getting a whole bunch from being here. So if anyone's on the fence, tip yourself to the give it a shot side of the fence. And I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Be Epic podcast from the Walton College. You can find us on Google, SoundCloud, iTunes, or look for us wherever you find your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe and rate us. You can find current and past episodes by searching Be Epic Podcast, one word, that's B-E-E-P-I-C podcast. And now, Be Epic.